Parkinson's is a progressive neurodegenerative movement disorder that affects muscle control. Julie Pring from the Caboolture Support Group of Parkinson's Queensland joins 101.5 today to share some helpful tips on living with Parkinson's. Julie, what benefits are these for people attending a support group?
Well, people who have been diagnosed with Parkinson's, each person has a unique combination of symptoms, but there are still commonalities which can be shared when people meet up. So a support group can offer a lifeline for others who've walked in their shoes. Sharing common lived experience can move someone from a place of isolation and depression to a place of community and greater understanding. Mm-hmm. And I'm very partial to the concept of support groups, although I admit that groups are not for everyone, but I think people should try it to see if it's something that's helpful for them.
Yeah. And Julie, can you give us some ideas of what the varying symptoms might look like?
Well, I guess people who've listened to this segment previously has heard some of it, but it never hurts to reiterate. And because there's such a varying group of symptoms that people have, I actually find it helpful with an illustration to help understand that two people with Parkinson's are just so different. I was actually listening to a webinar this morning, and something, I don't know who originally said it, but the speaker said, you know, if you've met one person with Parkinson's, you've only met one person with Parkinson's. Mm. So the illustration is combination of food. So one person may choose lettuce, cheddar cheese, tomato, grated carrot, cucumber, mayonnaise. Mm. Another might have spinach, feta cheese, onions, olives, Greek dressing, but they're both a salad. Mm. And Parkinson's is a bit like that. So while each person's different, there are commonalities that can link together.
Okay. And I mean, yes, what you just said, both of those things are salads, but quite different in the makeup. Mm. So Julie, in particular, or practical terms, I should say, what can symptom combinations look like?
Well, most people tend to think of Parkinson's as a tremor. But there are about seven different medical conditions that can include a tremor. Their tremors might be a little bit different, but with Parkinson's, there's only about 70% of people who are diagnosed who actually have a tremor. And there's other movement difficulties in Parkinson's, like slowness of movement, changes in posture, and there's stiffness, which is called rigidity. Mm-hmm. So these symptoms are troubling, but they might be less troubling than some of the non-motor symptoms. And some of these include loss of taste, fatigue, anxiety, apathy, or just not caring. Sleep difficulties, swallowing, they're just some of them.
Wow.
And it's such a broad range. It's quite remarkable in some ways that they all fit into Parkinson's, although some can fit into other diseases as well.
Yeah. Now, Julie, what could someone expect when they are living with Parkinson's?
Because of the various problems that people can experience. Mm-hmm. Some might be earlier in the disease and some might be later on in the disease. Not everyone has all these different problems and issues, and many manifestations making up the diagnosis of Parkinson's. And often the actual diagnosis can be very protracted because it's so difficult for doctors to put it all together. Sometimes it's, you know, first thing the doctor might say, you've got Parkinson's, but then later, or with other people, it might be quite a long process, because at this stage, apart from, and I'm not too sure if they're offering it in Australia yet, but the actual only definitive test is looking at cerebrospinal fluid, and that's an invasive way of looking at it. They're hoping to change that to a blood test in the long run. Yeah. But it just means that this variation makes it very difficult. And apart from that, there's also the way that people respond, because we all come from a different background.
Yeah.
We all have our own personality. We've all had our life experiences. And without or put them on top of the symptoms which someone might have been experiencing and not understanding for cases many years, it can be a very difficult pathway to know. And when diagnosis is made, it can be a relief, it can cause anger. There's so many reactions to people who find out that they've got Parkinson's.
You can understand that, can't you? Yeah. Jules, what about a PET scan? Is that sort of, you know, the be all and end all to advise whether Parkinson's is prevalent
the
or not?
PET scan, yeah. Mm. The PET scan, and that's been used over a number of years now, more to exclude Parkinson's, because they look at what's called dopamine uptake.
Mm-hmm.
And if the PET scan shows that it's average, that usually means that the person hasn't got Parkinson's and that their tremor or whatever their symptoms are might be from something else. But it's not a definitive test.
No.
It's an exclusion test only.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It all sounds incredibly complex, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I guess that's why for many, catching up with others with Parkinson's, or if they think they've got Parkinson's, it can be so helpful to find the support and information and to share experiences and practical suggestions about solving problems in everyday living. And not everything will work for everybody. Mm. One person might say, oh, I found this really useful, but another person might try it and it doesn't work. So they need to discard that and to look for their own solution or chat with others about it. And it's not just the person who's been diagnosed with Parkinson's or who thinks they've got Parkinson's who's affected. It can bring changes in everyday life for the care partners and family and friends, and also they can gain from understanding and from chatting with others at the support group.
Mm-hmm. And on that note then, Julie, if a carer and or a person with Parkinson's would like to become involved in the Caboolture support group, tell us a little bit about when you meet, where you meet, and, you know, we've heard the benefits of meeting, so just give us that little heads up.
Okay, well, we have meetings on the third Thursday of the month from February to November. So this month, next week on the 19th of February, is our first meeting for this year. And we're going to just use the time to catch up after the break. And if any wish, I'm going to take along some table games and they can play, or some brain games, particularly word searches.
Mm-hmm.
Picked up a few from various sources and they're so readily available. But they're good brain games, because it's keeping our brain active, not just with Parkinson's, but as we get older,
all of us,
it's so important.
Yeah.
And we also catch up informally, just a small group. I think the largest we ever had was about 11. I think we had 10 last month at Lisa's Willow Tree Cafe from 10 o'clock on the second Thursday. So anyone interested in Parkinson's, or even the atypical Parkinson's, which, because there are smaller numbers, they come under that umbrella, or a care partner or friend, or just if you're interested, you're welcome to come along either on the Thursday for the chat group or for the meeting itself.
Now, I don't think you gave our listeners the where you're meeting on the 19th of February, Lum.
Okay. Our meeting place is at the Morayfield Community Uniting Church, which is 12 to 14 Weir Road, Morayfield. And you come into that, the church, is the building is at the back behind the Blue Care offices. So you drive up a drive with the Blue Care offices on your left and the church buildings at the back, and there's plenty of parking, sometimes in front, although some of the staff park there too, but definitely at the side or at the back. And there are, if people can't manage steps, there's ramp at the back and there's a ramp at the front as well.
Good. Now, that's important, Jules, because that is a new meeting spot, isn't it? Yep, for those people that used to come.
Yeah, we've actually been there for about 18 months
now. There you go. So wow.
Yes, I know. Things
Doesn't go fast, time goes so quickly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's Weir Road, and that the next meeting is the 19th of February. So
that's right. That's next week.
Yeah, next week. Yeah. Thank you.
I don't think I gave the time either. We start our meeting at 11:30.
At 11:30. Good on you. Good on you. And then at 10 o'clock, of course, at Lisa's Willow Tree on
the alternate. That's the second Thursday of the month. Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely.
And we have, with our meetings, we have lunch, which you know, people bring things along, put up their hand to make sandwiches and so on.
Yeah.
But basically the meal is free. But we always encourage people to donate, or we do run little raffles and so on, so just to keep the group running.
Yep. Now, Jules, you sometimes give us a quote or two. Do you have one for us today?
I've focused around support groups, and one that came from a group in, or part of a group, part of the quote from a group in America: being part of a support group is one of the best things you can do for your health. And also, I link in with Northwest Parkinson's Foundation, also in America, and they say many people find that support groups help them stay informed, stay motivated, and feel less alone in their Parkinson's journey.
Absolutely. Julie Pring from the Caboolture Support Group of Parkinson's Australia, chatting about the benefits of attending a support group and what varying symptoms and symptom combinations look like, and where to go for information and support. If you or you have a family member living with Parkinson's, search out on the podcast on 1015fm.com.au for more chats, information and tips on living with Parkinson's. Julie, thank you.
Thanks, Rosemary.